Want to immerse yourself in sport and the stories of athletes from across the Pacific? Well, join me, Sam Wykes, alongside some of the most talented journalists and sports commentators from across the region for Fresh Off the Field. Each week, we'll also bring you interviews with Pacific athletes leaving their mark on the international stage and those aspiring to do the same. From cricket to netball, athletics to football, and everything in between. Listen to Fresh Off the Field on your favourite podcast app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Chinidal Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Bonjour to our Tahitian and New Caledonian listeners. Welcome everyone to Nijan Footy, the number one place for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Tinero Aruna, and alongside me each week is my koi, Sammy Wykes. Happy Monday, Sammy. Welcome to Nijan Footy.
Happy Monday, brother. Bonjour. We have a massive show planned. It's so good that Super Rugby is starting this week, so all the warm-up games are done. We're kicking it off.
Yes, round one starts already.
Perfect. Jeez. So that's perfect for me. I can't wait to watch those games. We're going to go through, I guess, my prediction for Moana Pacifica as well. I'll preview with them. We've also got some Perth 7s news with Fiji having another pretty good tournament. But man, last week we spoke about not much news happening in rugby league.
And then league,
you've come out the gates here.
Gets out the blocks on how a big quiet is this one? Sunday afternoon. Payne Huss has, oh, there's all this news that he's reportedly signed at the South Sydney Rabbitohs. So we'll get into the details there.
Massive news.
We've also got the NRL and NRLW All-Stars this weekend held in Hamilton, New Zealand. We had some NRL trials, two games on the weekend, the four clubs that are going to Vegas. So we'll have a quick preview, but I want to give my predictions for this season. I know last year was awful, but this year,
I want to throw stones at you, but I can't because mine were just as bad.
Well, this year I'll start with those four teams that are going to Vegas, and then we have our star for the show here on Nijan Footy. We have Rodney Iona.
From Manu Samoa. So Manu Samoa, fly half, is a number 10, is the general. He's going to come on the show, and we're going to go through the roller coaster ride that Manu Samoa went through to qualify for the 2027 Rugby World Cup. They took the last spot, and he was there the whole time. So I'm pretty keen to chat to him around what it was like,
what the
emotions
was like,
were like going into. And we did have this chat a couple of weeks ago, but man, he's such a cool fella, and I'm looking forward to what we've got planned for him and also the show.
Moment of the week.
Sammy, moment of the week. We do it every Monday, but this one caught my eye last week. Now, a good friend of ours, he's also been on a number of Nijan Footy shows and also your That Pacific Sports show on ABC.
He's a legend. He's a PNG legend.
A PNG legend, a rugby league legend. And, man, he's someone who I would not want to cross paths with.
Especially in this scenario.
In this scenario. So, David Mead. The legend, the Kumu, ex-NRL player as well, David Mead, he posted on his social media, two people were trying to break into his house, the camera was above the front door, and then not long after they opened the door, you see David Mead screaming his head off, running down in his undies, straight from bed, in his undies, and he chases the robbers who attempted to try to rob David Mead's
house. Wrong house
to rob, but he runs down there. The intruders run away, and then he runs out, tries to chase him down to his gate, screaming his head off. But, man, what a moment
Firstly, thankfully, that didn't go terribly wrong, and we can actually sort of have a bit of a lighthearted chat about what happened. But, man, just seeing him run out in his undies, he's still in good nick, isn't he? Like, in the shadow.
Is that the one thing you picked
up? That's the one thing I picked up from it. That his back was, still staunch. And just you could just see in that moment, fight or flight, man, he was ready to go.
He's all fight.
He's all fight ready
full
to go.
Full of adrenaline. What would you do that in that scenario?
Great question.
Two people try breaking into your house. You're upstairs.
Yes.
And it's been reported that when David Mead and his partner or his wife wasn't there, his wife could hear the intruders trying to open the door.
His wife heard the noise first.
And then as soon as he heard that doorknob open, David Mead races down. What do you do in that scenario? When you hear the doorknob?
My wife's name's Moana. So I would be going, Mo, go check the door for me. Send her down. And then if I heard her scream, I'd be down there ready to ready to go.
Well, in my room, I'm always – and this is also happens when I go on tour. And, you know, when you get your teammate and you share a room.
Are you furthest from the door?
I'm always the bed furthest from the door because it gives me enough time to think about my options.
Really? You don't have time to think in that situation?
Exactly. So my wife would be – she already says that I'm a cat. I'm the biggest cat. She goes, if someone wants to break in, we're done because I'm usually trying to kick her to go check the door. So David Mead, hats
off. So we got two cats here on Nation Footy. We probably need
Nation. David Mead, who's also a good friend of ours, and man, great work in protecting your family, holding it down for your household. And I'm just grateful that we're good friends here on Nation Footy. The legend himself, David Mead.
Hey guys, David Mead here, and you're listening to Nation Footy.
All right, T, we're going to talk rugby league here, and we did mention at the top of the show that, like, huge news. The man, Payne Haas, is going to depart the Brisbane Broncos at the end of this year. There is still a 10-day cooling-off period, and we've seen this before with actually his teammate that he's going to be joining, David Fifita.
When he was meant to be signing at the Roosters.
Backflipped. And stayed with the Titans. But firstly, your thoughts straight away around South Sydney of all places.
Well, at first when I heard the news or seen the news, I thought it was a joke. I thought it was April Fool's.
April's come early.
Where did this come from? There was no speculation. There was no rumours. There was some discussions around Broncos maintaining Payne Haas's signature and his contract to stay at the Broncos. But yeah, I think it caught everyone off guard. Everyone who was involved, hats off to you. Because to be able to hold news like that.
That's a big secret.
And there would have been discussions for quite some time. That's not one decision that you make over.
And in the NRL, we've seen before, like, there's no one's a vault in that industry. Yep. Something will get out, but this one's been tight-lipped here.
So Payne Haas has lodged his contract with the NRL. There is a 10-day cooling off period where, you know, we said, as mentioned before, David Fifita didn't end up going to the Roosters. I still think this one goes through, looking at the media and how strong. Yeah, Reece Walsh even done a posting up on his social media a photo of Payne Haas and said something like, oh, I love you, brother. Let's make this one count.
Yeah, Paddy Carrigan did the same thing, you know, the 8-10 combo. Goes, oh, this is going to be a special year. So I guess all of his teammates are very supportive of his decision. But when you think about, again, South Sydney, the team,
mm-hmm.
why would you think that it would be South Sydney? Why would you go to South Sydney?
Well, you look at who they've just lost recently, the Dragons chopper man, helicopter man, Keon Kolomatangi. He'll be departing ways after this year, which means there was some cap space or a lot of, there's some money there to spend on a player like Payne Haas. He's also joining his old coach in Wayne Bennett. Wayne Bennett actually gave Payne Haas his debut jersey. So there would have been that connection and relationship there. David Fifita, good friend of Payne Haas, is also there in the year 27. And then you've got the likes of Cam Murray, Latrell Mitchell, and also Tavita Totola there as well when he'll be joining the Rabbitohs. So I'm hoping, I'm not hoping being a Roosters man, but I'm guessing that the Rabbitohs fans would be hoping that Payne Haas brings a premiership for the Rabbitohs in the year 2027 and onwards.
So, before we move on to some other big news, signing news, just to finish us off here with Payne, who's off contract in the halves, do you think, in the NRL to join Souths? Because that's a forward pack that you'd go, wow, if I'm a 5'8 or a halfback, I'm looking at that pack going, yes, that's front football all day and I can do my thing.
Ooh, I think Isaiah Katoa, he's got two more years at the Dolphins.
He comes off next year.
You set that one up.
Bane, 2027. I'm just thinking aloud here.
Anyway, so there's some good news for the Gold Coast Titans. Tino Faasomaliawi has extended his stay and he's committed to the Titans for the 20, all the way up until 2030. And alongside Tino, the son of Marcus Bai, Cooper Bai, big boy, huge, PNG. He's going to be at a PNG great. He has extended his stay at the Titans, signing a two-year deal for this year and next year. So 2027, he'll be at the Titans. But the PNG Chiefs, they are introduced to the NRL in 2028. Does that leave the
door open? He has to be, if you're the PNG Chiefs, yeah.
To be the marquee player.
He has to be your number one marquee pick. Or you'd be throwing the kitchen sink at him to get him there.
Pack champs, when I watched the Kumuls play the Cook Islands last year in Port Moresby, when Cooper Bai went on the field, the crowd went insane.
Yeah.
When he touched the ball, they went insane. Yeah. So I think if I was the PNG Chiefs, I would be
he's my number one
at
man.
The top of the list
yep.
to get to play I like in the year 2028. I like it.
What else we have?
This weekend, we also have the NRL All-Stars squads. They feature a number of Pacifica players as well, and both the New Zealand Maoris and the Australian Indigenous players. With the Indigenous All-Stars, we have Alofiana Khan-Pereira, Esa Banu, who's in the NRLW. She's also been here on Legion Footy.
Yep.
And Talia Fuimaono, who will also be joining Esa. And in the Maori All-Stars, we have Jojo Fifita, Royce Hunt, Keanu Kinney, Jacob Laban, Chance Nickel Klogstad, Trent Toilau, and Dalin Watine Zalesniak alongside Fane Finau. So plenty of stars representing both games in all four teams.
When you think about the All-Stars in Indigenous game, obviously it's a prestigious jersey to wear. It means a lot to the players. What is the chat around the players wanting this fixture still? Because there's a lot of other noise saying there's too much footy on. It's probably run its race. We've got pack champs at the end of the year. You know, there's so much in the calendar that do these games have meaning to it? Like, in your opinion, you're close to the players. Do they still want this game?
Well, if you watch every All-Stars game that's ever been played, you'll see the pride and the passion that each player has when they represent their culture.
Yep.
You know, with the Maoris, with the Indigenous, they get to represent their history. And I know speaking to players, it means a lot to them. It also is something that they hold closely to them, but it's one that I think we need to keep in our game.
Yeah,
Finding the right time would be the key. So if it was me, I'd push it to the very first week, so the weekend that just went, where you've had the four Vegas teams that trialed, but the All-Stars game be the opening game. Now, if you've got players that play in the Vegas teams and you need them to trial, well, those four teams every year will miss out, but all the other teams, they get to play All-Stars and then they still get two trials with their clubs.
That's where you get paid the big bucks at the ROPA, mate, make big decisions.
Yeah, I won't lie. It was a friend of mine that gave me that idea, but
I borrowed the information, that's all good.
Remember, you can hear that game on ABC Radio Australia this Sunday afternoon. They'll be having both the NRLW and NRL Indigenous All-Stars games this Sunday.
And finally, to round us out a bit here, the rule changes.
The rule changes. They have been confirmed.
What's in, what's out from what was being proposed?
So the kickoff rule, that is not going ahead for the 2026 season, so we can mark that one out.
Everyone's happy with that one?
They will put, everyone's happy. Yep. They'll put some trials in place, I believe, in maybe New South Wales Cup or in some trial games. But I think to make a rule change like that so early, it's pretty, it's...
There's more data around it just to see if it's going to be a hit or a flop or anything like that. But
yep, one rule that did go through the knock-on over the line, that no longer results in a seven tackle set. If you think back to Tui Kamikamitha when he knocked it over in the grand final. Broncos got a seven tackle set. This time it'll just be a six tackle set. And I think the interesting one here is the six man bench. So each team can have six men on their bench and the coach can choose four of the six. So once he's activated the fourth player on the field, the other two just are no longer
active. Same amount of interchanges, but you can have six on the bench.
You can have the choice of four players out of six players on the bench. So the two that miss out don't play. They'll be activated as 18th men. So if there is the HIA, the two HIA rules, warnings, the head knocks, then they'll be activated. But the coach now has the decision to tactically figure out how he wants to manage a six-man bench and then make sure he gets those right four players on. My view is that it eliminates the value of a utility player.
So the hookers that play lock
that can play lock, half. You look at Tyron Wishart, who plays for the Storm.
Yep.
He was the perfect 14th man because he could play half, centre.
Connor Watson as well.
Connor Watson can play a number of positions in the middle. So if I was the coach, I'd go four specialised middles, one specialised outside back, and then one specialised half hooker.
Okay.
You just go, you manage it on how your team's going. Obviously, you'll use the three middles as an interchange. But if one of your backs go down, you've got a specialised back to replace them.
So from that angle, is there room, do you think, thinking of, say, the NFL, the Super Bowl's on today, and there's a lot of specialist positions in that game, goal kicker, punter, do you think there is room for like a one specialist position on the bench that can be called upon?
Just to kick.
Just to kick or, I don't know, to do something special, change the game.
Nah, I think if you're a really good kicker, you're also good at other positions. You look at Matt Burden, you know, he would be the prime specialist kicker.
Yeah.
He's also a 5'8". Like, I don't think
I'm thinking like a long-range field goal or a long-range penalty kicker.
Why couldn't your 13 or 17 players?
Sometimes maybe the person that's on the bench.
You're getting paid just to kick.
It then could head that way.
League's not turning into NFL. I don't think so anyway. But good, yeah, good good point.
Do you see where I was going with it though? Yeah, to be honest, I don't like that rule, the six-man bench. I think you it must just have impacts.
Heard it. Did you hear that somewhere?
Yeah, I heard it, Matty John. Yeah, I heard it on Matty John's. But I think it impacts like too much around like New South Wales Cup. And the depth of actually playing football where you can learn your craft.
The impact it's going to have on those fringe players.
Yeah.
And also debuts. There'll be players that will be making their debut but not have their family present because...
Because it's a lottery if you're going to get on or not.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll move on from there. There were some games, trial games that happened over the weekend, but previews.
Yep. So there were actually two trial games. So the four Vegas teams played.
Yep.
The Dragons, they beat the Knights 28-18. Setu Tu. Now, the winger, he's played a number of cut games, come over from the Warriors, played on the right wing, made a nice defensive read, caused an error, and then he intercept for the first try. So the Dragons got up on that one. And then the Bulldogs, they lost to the Cowboys 30 points to 34, but it was good to see Helam Lukey come back. His first, he scored the first try for the Cowboys, just running a nice line. But to come back from an ACL injury, looking forward to seeing the season he's about to have, alongside Robert Darby, who scored two tries, a double for the Cowboys. But
so, all right, on that, because I was more worried about your predictions because...
we're going predictions now.
Yeah, because, you know, we could barely pick our nose last year and try and find any winners. So here we go. We'll start with the Knights because these are the teams going to Vegas. So I just want your predictions quickly on those teams that played on the weekend. Does it give you any indication on where they're going to sit in the NRL season this year?
I was awful at my predictions last year.
Yeah, I'm not here to throw stones.
I had Raiders second last and they almost made the GF. So we'll give it another crack
here
this year.
Here we go.
The Knights. Knights finished last year, but I actually have them finishing a few places above 17th. I've got them at 14th. So I reckon with the signing of Dylan Brown, and you look at their spine with Kalen Ponga, Dylan Brown, Fletcher Sharp, and Phoenix Crossland, I think they're going to cause a lot of damage. But where they need a lot of help or work on this season will be their pack. You know, for a good spine to work, you'd need a good go-forward pack. And they've got players like Jacob Saifiti, Tyson Frizzell, but will they have enough to come against some of those bigger packs when you're looking like...
I think for 26 rounds too.
When you come up against Payne Huss, Paddy Carrigan, you look at even the Dolphins, we'll get to shortly. They got some big packs. in them games. So, yeah, I've got them finishing not last, but a few points better than
We'll mark last that one year. Down and we'll see if that comes to fruition. But the Cowboys.
Cowboys, big player there. Jason Taumalolo, if he is healthy, if he is good to go this year, I think he'll be one of their standout players. He's won a number of Player of the Year awards for the Cowboys, but he'll be one to look out for. Alongside Jason Taumalolo, they've got a number of strike weapons. Now, we've seen, well, I mentioned Helum Lukey, Robert Darby, Zach Labert, who also scored a try for the Cowboys in the trial. But then you had Nanai Taulangi and then Tom Dearden to steer them around this park. You know, there will be no excuses for the Cowboys to find the try line. It would be more about their defensive efforts and how well they can defend their try line. So I've got them finishing 13th on the ladder. In the Dragons, the thing is with these teams, you compare them to other teams and you just don't, you'd love for them to be successful.
You've got something against the Dragons.
Do I?
I don't know.
I haven't even given you my prediction.
I'm just going from your tone.
I was about to say third.
Third? No, you weren't. You were going to say third. It says 16th or 17th on here.
Anyways, I think they've got a stack in the outside backs with players like Moses Sully, Valentine Holmes, Matt Fiangae. They will get them going forward. You think of their coach, Shane Flanagan, that 2016 season that they won the premierships at the Sharks, Seems like he's gone with that same kind of style where you just go forward the outside backs, get them going. Guys like Val was there actually, Ricky Lattelli, Josiah Fecky, and Gerard Bill. They got them going forward. Match them up with these ones, similar style of play. But I've still got them finishing around 17th, 16th. Let's say 17th.
Hey, one player I do want to shout out for the Dragons. He made his debut last year there. To see more of is Jacob Halangahu, their back rower. For more reports, all the players, I reckon, he's a beast. He's absolutely killing it in the gym and at training. They don't want to defend him. They don't like partnering up with him in the contact sessions. So he'll be a big name to watch out for.
Good shout. He was full of energy when Setu to cause that error in the trial too. And then we go to the Bulldogs. Obviously, Stephen Crichton is their go-to guy, the captain. He's going to lead the ship throughout the 2026 season. The only thing that concerns me is the injury. If they are injury-free, I think they'll be very good. I think if they lose a few due to injury, do they have the depth in the youngsters to be able to fulfill those spots? So think of Stephen Crichton, Viliami Kikau, Sitili Tuponua. You lose a few of those big-name players, who do you replace them with? They do have some good young players, like Finau Latu, who signed there from the Dragons, Zion Mayu'u, also Lipoi Hopui, but are they at that calibre yet?
I think for the Bulldogs, just with Crichton, because he's such a big personality, he's got big energy, his presence is always felt. And when that is, if that's not there, even if it's through origin period or whatever, I feel like that leaves a massive hole in the sense of who are we turning to? Who are we looking to probably get us up for a game or get us up for training? So that's my only concern as well, is that it feels like it's reliant on personalities to be able to get them up rather than the system doing the heavy lifting. But I don't know. That's how I sort of see it for that one.
Well, I've got them finishing at eighth, so scraping into the eighth. But I think they could possibly miss the top eight this year.
That's a huge call.
If there are some injuries along the season. But
time will tell.
That's my wrap-up for them four teams. And join me next week where I go through the next four on Nisian Footy. Let's shift over to Rugby Union. Sammy, the floor's yours.
Hi, I'm Asa Ivano from the PNG Orchids and North Queensland Cowboys, and you're listening to Nisian Footy.
Yeah, so we're going to start off with the Perth Sevens that happened over the weekend. Man, the Fijians, I thought they were going to do it again. I thought they were going to get back-to-back tournament wins, but they went down in the grand final to South Africa, 21 points to 19. And I'm going to shout out two players here, Nadani Bonginisoko and Nanduvalo. But these guys are honestly freakish talents that have just absolutely lit up these last couple of tournaments. And when you think of the footwork around some of the Fijians, they could step you in a phone booth. They were able to accelerate as fast as they can, stop, pull back, step someone, throw a long 30-meter pass, kick on and keep going. Like, it takes a special talent to be able to to do that, especially when you just think you've just they're just growing up in the village, just having a bit of fun, playing a bit of footy. Like those two players, they are special and they wouldn't look out of place, I reckon, in a draw jersey. I reckon they'll be Glenn Jackson will be looking over his shoulder just to see how they're performing because it's another winger, another outside back.
Why doesn't draw do that, poach players from the sevens, or do those players choose to stay at sevens because you know, for different different gains or positives, like financially, or is it just more suited to that sport?
I think a lot of them might start off in sevens. Like there's been plenty of players that have been in the Fijian seven system and then have come over to the draw. But it is, I would say, not a drain on the talent pool. But when you think of Fiji, it's not the biggest place for population. I know a lot of players play rugby. But it's sort of, you feel like it might be hard to feed all the different teams and get the best talent in each one. We've seen Celestino Ravutamanda. He played for the Drua, but also went to the Olympics for the Sevens as well. So there is opportunities to have shared talent across the teams, but that was special. They were definitely special in that one. They're still on top at the moment for the Sevens tournament, going into their next one. But for the women's, Fiji won their seventh place playoff against Great Britain, 41 points to 5, which allowed them to finish seventh in the competition. But for Super Rugby, the warm-up games are over. We're going into round one. But if you look at the warm-up games, did you have a look at any of the scores?
I did glimpse at the...
What did you glimpse at?
The Moana versus the Highlanders.
Oh, you've seen that one.
But it was more the background. I was like, where is this game being played? Because you could see hills, you could see green grass, a lot of space. And you mentioned this morning off air that it was in Queenstown.
Queenstown. Beautiful part. Have you played
Queenstown.
There?
I was born in Queenstown.
You weren't born in
just
Queenstown.
3 hours down the road.
Yeah, that's not Queenstown.
Dunedin.
Dunners. Yeah, well, they had a pretty good hit out, Wanda Pacifica and the Highlanders. I thought that, and we'll preview them in a second, but I thought they did a pretty good job in terms of all the, that was their first hit out compared to some of the other teams. They made a lot of changes.
Talking about the Moana
team. Yep. But they went down 41 points to 31 in that game. In other games as well, the Blues beat the Crusaders 45 points to 24. But this one's a big one. The Brumbies versus the Waratahs. Can you guess the score in this one? Did you see it?
48 to 50.
Yeah, nice looking down at your sheet there. Perfect.
48 to Brumbies, 50 to the Waratahs.
So it was a cricket game, that one. So they will play, the Waratahs will play the Reds this Friday. But I'm liking the Waratahs.
Just with these trials though, before we get to the Waratahs, is it a lot of fringe players playing in these trials, or are they actually starting with their most likely first 15?
First 20 minutes, 25 minutes was probably their full strength teams.
And who looked better out of the two?
I would say, what are you talking about, the Waratahs?
Yes.
It was quite even. Okay. It was quite even. I did like the Waratahs in a sense that they, the way they attacked.
Suoli'i played.
Played at 13, so it'll be interesting. The thing that's probably... what I think of the Waratahs is when things are going well, like they're on, confidence is high. And it's when things don't go well, how long are they going to persist with that? And it's only a little hiccup. Mm. You know, so Swaley, for an example, they're going to play him at 13. And if that doesn't work, when are they going to shift into fullback?
13 is outside center.
So
more space, less ball.
I think he should be in the back three. That's what I think. But I want to go to our preview of Moana Pacifica.
Did the Fijian Drua have a trial on the weekend?
Yeah, they had their last one. So they played against a select Fijian side out of their Skipper Cup. So they ended up winning. It was a big score, 72 points to 12. Look, in those type of games, cohesion, another chance for match fitness, and coming out of those games unscathed. So they're going to be right for round one when they play against Moana Pacifica on Saturday. So
this weekend.
Battle of the Pacific on Saturday.
Ooh, okay.
So I think it's just a good opportunity for a hit out and making sure that they've got some match fitness under their belt ready to go. But here we go. We did the draw last week for our preview. Okay. So I didn't
you had
get
them
any.
Draw a top four?
Nah, not top four. Oh. I reckon they'll sneak into the top six.
Top six, okay.
I reckon they'll sneak into the top six.
Now let's go to the Moana.
Moana Pacifica. This is my preview. Life without Artie. He reminds me like Stephen Crichton. Big personality. The whole team looks to someone like him to get us out of trouble if we need to. And I don't think I've ever seen an individual carry a team as much as I did Artie Savia last year with Moana Pacifica. Mm. Would you agree with that?
In rugby union.
In rugby union,
yeah. Like the influence that he had within his team, both on and off the field.
Yeah.
How he carried himself through media and then how he brought everyone along the ride, the journey with him. I don't think we'll be able to see that again for a very long time until Artie comes back.
And I think, yeah, I'm with you because some of those wins that they got last year was purely off the back of his performance. Like, get on my back, boys. I'm carrying us through this. And
they weren't, the thing is, they weren't like a special play where you make a break and score a try. It was just pure grit, determination
yep.
and hunger to be successful. And then he just brought everyone along with him. So
every week that he was playing and every week they got a win and every week they improved, like you had guys like my cousin Patrick Pellegrini playing out of his skin.
Mm.
Now everyone's playing with confidence. So without him for this season, I know they've got Miracle Failangi. I know they've got Lau Mape there as well, Augustine Bulu. But to me, that's a massive hole. Like that's a hole that is almost too big to fill. It's going to be a big job for Tana to get that environment right, you know, the delivery of the messages, how the flow of the sessions go, because Artie's got a big input on how things will be planned throughout the week, in my opinion, because that's what players buy into.
Mm.
And for them to go one better than last year, so they finished seventh last year, six is the quarterfinals, finals footy, they're going to have to, you know, try and get one step better without him. So the expectation is a lot greater on all the players. But if they are to do it, they have to improve their defence. Even though with Artie there, they conceded the most points last year. In pretty much every game that they played in, they could score points, but they also leaked a lot of points. I think it was on average, it ended up being like 68 points a game total. That was in a Moana Pacifica game with their opposition. So
that's why they were entertaining.
Exactly. So they're going to have to improve their defense and they're going to have to improve their lineout as well. They were second last with their lineout position. So you think if they're losing three or four lineouts a game, you know, they're perfect opportunities to be able to launch off.
Mm.
And there's a big stat around scoring tries within the first three phases from a lineout. So if they can improve that, improve their defense, it's going to go a long way to going that one better this year. But I think the player to watch is number 8, Semisi Tupuotailoa. He will be one to watch. And I thought he was probably their best player in that trial game against the Highlanders. He's slimmed down a little bit more from last year because last year was his debut season, first year being a professional. And when I was watching him move out there, he's almost got that license like Artie. Like he wasn't just stuck on one side. He was in the middle. He got to an edge. And I think his ball carries are going to be very dominant come this Super Rugby season. So that's my preview for Moana.
With all that said, I know you're trying to get out of it.
Yeah, I think they miss out.
They miss out.
I think they finish eighth this year.
Eight out of how many Super Rugby clubs are there?
Eight out of the 11.
So they finished eighth.
They finished eighth this year. Okay. So that's my prediction.
Great work, Sammy. Eighth position for the Moana Pacifica. But we're going to now head over to our chat that we had with Rodney Iona. This chat was actually held a couple of weeks ago now.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago. We pre-recorded this one because he's a busy man.
Very busy.
Wanted to get him on.
So here he is, the man himself, Rodney Iona.
All right, T, for our next guest here, man, this guy has to be Mr. Worldwide when it comes to playing rugby across the globe. Super Rugby with the Brumbies in Australia, Pro Rugby in Spain, England, France and the USA. But it's probably the most important part of his rugby journey. He helped make sure Manu Samoa booked their spot at the 2027 World Cup. He's the fly half for Manu Samoa. He's played about 20 times for them and he joins us right now, Talofa lover, Rodney Iona. Talofa, bro, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on here.
I appreciate your time, man. Before we get into a bit of your rugby journey, your village is in Samoa. Whereabouts are they?
So dad's from Patafalate on the main island, and then mum's from Ivavayafai in Savai.
Growing up in Melbourne, in regards to your culture of Samoa, did your parents instill a lot of those Samoan values in your upbringing?
Yeah, 100%. I'm very grateful for my dad doing that at a young age. It was funny because we always talk about it with my brothers. When we went to school, we spoke English. And then when we came home, when we walked through those doors, we spoke Samoan. And any time that we spoke English in the house, my dad would remind us that you leave the English at school and outside the doors, and when you walk through the doors, you speak Samoan. And that's why I'm so grateful to this day, being able to speak Samoan to the elders when you're going into church environments, or just seeing an auntie or an uncle or a friend that's older than you, being able to speak Samoan. I'm very grateful for those learnings and those teachings from old men.
Yeah, at the time, being a kid, did you ever realize the importance of how it was going to help you later on in life? Or was it just like, oh man, do we have to speak Samoan? Like, how did you find that as a kid in that moment?
Not at all. I obviously, being young, you obviously want to do your own thing and not have to listen to mum and dad talking about speaking Samoan, but they knew the importance. And I'm so glad that dad taught us to speak Samoan and read Samoan when we're in the house. There are times when we're young, we're in the room and we're talking English to each other, but quietly. Yeah.
just to follow up on that, again, being in Australia, like obviously sometimes the pronunciation might not come across as fluently as probably your parents would have liked it. What was it like when you sort of mucked up a word and you didn't get that right when you were trying to speak back to him?
I think they're really good. I think the culture, as a Samoan culture, for what I know, is there's this thing called Awale A'amu, which is don't tease someone that doesn't pronounce a word or says a phrase properly, but to correct them. So my old man and my old lady were really good at that. They'd only knuckle down when we had White Sunday and we needed to pronounce everything right. in terms of pronunciation and all that, like I thought my parents done a good job of like correcting and making sure that we're on the right path learning the language.
Wish my cousins had that same type of philosophy around pronunciation.
It must be a Tongan thing.
Yeah.
When it's cousins and your siblings, you say something fresh, sure you get teased. But any of the elders, the same thing with the elders. Like if our parents were to speak English, you kind of want to giggle about it, but you want to kind of like correct them also. So I think it goes both ways.
Yeah,
I have young
that respect. Yeah,
I have two younger sisters, and my dad. He was born and grew up in Cook Islands, and so English being a second language, and every now and then he'll pronounce your words differently or fresh out, and my sisters will tease him. And then we're all like, well, how many languages can you speak? And then it's like, oh, yeah, shut them down straight away.
Exactly.
They're a lot smarter than what we think. But, when you were a kid, did your family ever take you back to Samoa to connect to, the Samoan land and the people over there?
As a young kid, no. Obviously, my biological father left us at a young age. So it was just me and my mum and my brothers at that time. So As a single mum, you kind of don't think about those things, and you kind of just focus on the family and where it's heading. But as I got older, I obviously had the opportunity to play for Samoa, and I went over there. And the one thing that I'm, like we've spoken about, one thing I'm grateful for is the being able to speak their language when I went over there. And a lot of my aunties and uncles and a lot of the locals were asking if I was born and raised in Samoa. But yeah, didn't go as a young fella, but when I did go over, man, I really enjoyed my time over in Samoa.
Yeah, we'll get to some of those camps as well when you would have been with Samoa and what that would have meant and felt like being a part of it over in the motherland. But your rugby journey, when I think about all the teams that you played for, there's a lot of knowledge and there's a lot of travel in between all of them. What was the main reason for bouncing around to so many different teams in different countries?
I guess it was the opportunity to be able to play in different countries. One thing that I'm grateful for with rugby is it's taken me to places that I wouldn't think that I'd ever go to. Playing in France, man, I was playing in the Pro D 2, and the thing over there is you play four games and you have 1 week off, and that allows you to travel and see the world.
It must be a special feeling. I know there's Samoans around the world, and you've played in Spain, England, France, USA. When you come across other Samoan players or people, but to be able to speak your language, do you ever have those moments of, connecting with Samoan people around the world?
Yeah, 100%. I found that when I was playing in Seattle last year, there's a lot of islanders there, And then you obviously have the usual nod that you do as Pacific Islanders. And when they say Malo Soli, that's when you can initiate the I speak Samoan, you know. And then which I love about our culture, man. Like, no matter where you are in the world, you get the nod. You know, it's a conversation that you can start. But there was a thing that Islanders did in the Pro D2, and actually it was in France, actually, where if I have a home game and there's Islanders on the other side, generally what the home team would do, the team with Islanders, they would cook a meal. Because if you think about it, French rugby, they do a lot of traveling in buses. So the guys that have the home game would cook or buy a meal, you know, for the boys to travel back on. So that's something that I think is unspoken about a lot, but it happens in France. And that's probably one of my experiences that I really find amazing, because it's embedded in our culture, and it's our identity to look after, to serve, and doing things like that, cooking a meal for the boys to have on the bus on the way back home. Because if you think about it, the buses last about like from 6 to 10 hours, sometimes even more. So yeah, very grateful to see guys playing for other teams, and I think it's pretty cool to be on the other side of the world and being able to do that. And those are the things that our parents have taught us at a young age.
That is an awesome feeling, be on the other side of the world and you have those feelings of being homesick and is it worth it? And then you have that moment there, go, okay, there's a bit of home in me and someone that I've never even known before, but they made me feel like I belong here. Exactly. So I love hearing those stories. Let's move over to your Samoan debut, your playing in that blue jersey. Talk us through how that came about and the thoughts and feelings that you got when you first received your jersey.
Yeah, obviously to represent my country and my parents especially, what an honor, eh? Like to be able to put on that blue jersey and understanding that we represent a whole country, our families, and kids that want to represent Samoa one day. I do remember my debut actually was against Fiji in the PNC. I got knocked out that game, and it was a big eye-opener because with these big Fijians, man, and I'm this scrawny 10 from Melbourne playing international rugby for Samoa. But, yeah, it was a good experience. I had good guidance in terms of players around me. I had Alapati Leua. I had Tusi Pisi as a 10, as a starting 10, as many rugby players and rugby fanatics would know. Tusi Pisi has been a big part of Manu Samoa for a long time, and yeah, I had good guys that were around me, awesome coaches too, that really guided me through my first debut. But I do remember the chat that I had with my old man. It's something that he's always wanted me to do, represent Samoa. But yeah, it was awesome.
What was the reaction from your family?
There's a lot of tears, happy tears. It's something that that I've been working towards since being a young fella, wanting to play for Samoa. My dad was very, very happy that I donned the blue jersey.
Who's got your debut jersey?
Mum. Yeah, it's all the debut jerseys of Mum's. Mum has it at home.
Yeah, nice. Nice little collection. How good. And then we get to the qualification stuff around the 2027 World Cup. It's been a roller coaster for Manu Samoa. You've been a part of that, and you helped make sure that they were going to be in the 2027 World Cup. But what was that feeling like?
Yeah, obviously last year, 2025 campaigns, it was a roller coaster for a lot of the players. A very emotional year for the Manu boys, especially from their first game, their first campaign against Scotland. New management, a lot of players unavailable. It was a very emotional roller coaster right from that game to we got our qualifications in Dubai. So there's a lot of emotions going up and down, wanting to represent your country, but not being able to qualify, the heat from our fans and a lot of the outside, external. But when we did qualify, I couldn't tell you how much it meant to the boys and a lot of us that had been there right from the start of the year. Very emotional. I think by the end of that that last whistle, I think the boys were ready to go home and spend some quality time with their families, because obviously, being a part of the campaign, not qualifying, a lot of these games were, I think that the games that we were meant to qualify after PNC, there was an extension onto a lot of the traveling.
after Colorado. So boys went on to play in Utah and went off to Chile. So I guess when we did qualify in Dubai, the last qualifiers, the boys, there was a sigh of relief on that field and on that bus ride home. I think it's a time to celebrate, but I think a lot of the boys were just, we sat in silence and kind of took it all in and how the year unfolded. And we're very, very grateful that we got to qualify.
With all that external noise and expectation, you know, it comes with a lot of weight and responsibility. How did you guys manage as a playing team to be able to keep it, you know, keep the boys together, keep them strong, to be able to be successful and, you know, get the job done?
Yeah, obviously, I thought our leadership group and our coaching staff done a really good job of blocking those noises out. It's something that we couldn't hide from. I think we spoke about it, and then we just focused on one game at a time, and that just moving on and focusing on what our role was as a team to get to the World Cup.
Mm. What about for yourself personally? I saw a photo of you after that first game. You know, head in the hands, very disappointed. But being the fly half, being the game driver, and a lot of, you get a lot of touches in that game, and a lot of the flow can come from your decision making in preparation and during the game. Like, what helped you with your preparation and getting that confidence to make sure, yeah, we've got this?
Yeah, so for me, with any game, I think preparation is key. Me understanding what our game plan looks like, me understanding how they play, getting into the nitty gritty, and that's what gives me the confidence to be able to play a good game versus play a bad game where you're just guessing how the opposition plays, guessing what the game plan is. Whereas as a game driver, I need to be aligned with what my coaching staff want, being aligned with what my leadership group wants, and being able to execute anything that we train on the field in our books on computers. Being able to flip that onto the field when it really matters.
And after reflecting on that journey, moving forward, it's going to bring that group even closer, and you know, to be able to use that use that journey for your preparation leading into the World Cup. We also had Miracle Failangi on our show, and yeah, I think he's going to be a great leader. But you know, with his announcement as the captain of the Moana Pacifica, how does that make you feel? You know, what does that to have a leader in the squad as well, the leader of Moana Pacifica?
Yeah, 100%. I have a really close relationship with Miracle. I think I even messaged him the other day to congratulate him on being appointed as captain. Look, I think the kid, he's an amazing player, and also he's an amazing leader for a lot of us. Someone that I honestly look up to. He's been hard done by a couple of years being selected in some of the Manu campaigns, but I think it just shows how much of a person he is and how much of a player he is to be appointed by Tana. And I'm sure, like, Tana being an amazing player back in his day and an amazing coach, he understands and sees the value in Miracle. So it wasn't a surprise, to be honest, man. Like, he's an amazing player, and he's an amazing man off the field.
34 years of age, 2027 World Cup. The legs still there, ready to go?
Good to go, mate.
Good to go.
I'm telling you right now, man, it's itchy. They're itching to play in the World Cup. I've had two opportunities at two World Cups, been hard done by it, but I'm telling you, the mind, the fire is still burning, and I'm going to do everything I can to be in that World Cup squad, and I'm going to do it for my newborn baby. Obviously, Australia is where it's held at, and it'd be amazing to have my daughter run onto the field and join me in a World Cup.
Yes, till the wheels fall off, brother. Congratulations on being a new father. Final question for me: when your daughter grows up, is it English, Samoa, or French in the household?
Bilingual. Italian, because Mumsy's Italian, so she's got a lot of work to do growing up.
Oh man, how good, bro. Hey, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you on this journey. It would have been tough, you know, to go through those emotions during that World Cup qualifier. But Manu Samoa is there, so the people of Samoa will be right behind you, and hopefully you are there in 2027 running on the field with your daughter at some point. So much love and all the best also.
God bless, guys. Thank you very much for having me on.
Talo Falava. My name is Pipisana Patufilo, and you're listening to Nisian Footy.
T, we are at the end of our show. Gimme Three is on. This is our game of categories. Gets a little bit heated. I feel like we've been off to a pretty good start with the questions. Like, yeah, you haven't really complained.
They've been good questions.
Yeah, from both of us.
Easy ones.
Easy
too.
Ones.
The score is you're on three, I'm on two.
Yeah.
Your turn to ask me. The loser at the end of the year will.
We'll get a jersey. We'll stick with the jersey thing because we missed out last year.
We had a tie last year. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know how hard it is to come up with a rugby union question where you're not going to get upset and carry on and kick stones? And because you're going to say it's too hard, I don't watch rugby. Or if I do a rugby one, it's that easy. You end up getting 3 points.
Or well, don't do rugby then.
No, but I have to. That's my segment.
It doesn't have to be rugby. That's my area. See? That's the problem, mate.
But if I do rugby league, it's my knowledge as well, and it's easier for you.
So did I not do a rugby union one last week for you?
Oh, congrats, bro. One out of how many years we've been doing this for? But to celebrate 30 years of Super Rugby, the fans have been able to vote on their Legends 15 team.
They've been going on about this for like
the
2,
Legends
15
team. So the Brumbies. Let me ask my question here, son. The Brumbies and the Waratahs.
Don't call me son.
You're not going to do anything about it if I call you
teams,
son.
They've been going on about this team for ages. Suli's even in the team and he just joined
Union.
No,
he's not. See, lucky you haven't looked at the Waratahs social media website, otherwise you would have known he's not in the team. But the Brumbies and the Waratahs have announced their Legend 15 team over the 30 years. Between the two teams, there's been a total of 10 Pacifica players named, okay? 8 were forwards out of that 10. Give me 3 forwards that were named.
Oh, well, why didn't you just go the whole 10? Because the other 2 were easy, eh?
Yeah, real easy. Like, you're not – you'll get them so easy. But you should get the forwards as well. Out of the Brumbies and the Waratahs, over 30 years, there were – how many did I say? There were 8 forwards named Pacific Island Heritage. You should get
I actually know their faces. I just don't know their names.
You should get this.
You should get this. Brumbies and the Waratahs.
30 years.
What's the captain's name? The Brumbies' old captain?
George Gregan.
No. Is it? See, that's.
All right. I'll give you a clue. Mate, we've had him
is
on the show.
Is Carmon? No.
Who? Sorry?
Carmon.
Come on. Come on, mates. We've had one on the show.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Will Skelton.
Will Skelton is one.
So both from Waratahs and Brumbies.
And we've had another person on the show.
Yeah, got his name.
Think legend. Legend from the Brumbies.
Something Smith?
There is that, but I need his first
George
name.
Smith.
George Smith. There we go. Finally.
There's two. That's the captain, eh?
Yeah. Oh, no, he didn't captain.
He never captained?
No.
Was he on the show? He was on our show?
No, he wasn't on our show. Oh. You could get 3 here.
Yeah, I know.
With all that carry on and complaining, and you can still get 3.
Just bad with names. Where are we going with this, T? What's his name?
I'm going in 3.
No, hold on.
No, that's it. You've got your 2.
Nah,
that's enough for you.
No.
I was hoping you'd only get 1.
No. There might be one more.
There's not one more. 3. 2.
Wait.
Nah, you're gone. Take the 2.
I'll take 2.
Alan Alalatoa. Remember we had him on the show?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he was there. Tatafu Polota now. Hooker for the Waratahs, Sikope Kepu. We actually also had him on the show. We actually had 3 of these people on our show. Forgot. So he was in there. Ridiki Samo.
You know how many people we've had on the show now, eh?
Rob Valentini.
Almost 300 episodes.
There you have it. Well,
I'll take the two.
So what's the score now?
It takes me to 4 and you're on 3. Expect a league question next week.
That's all good. That's
first league one for the year, by the way.
Yeah, perfect. Bring it on. But that's our time up for today, T. Make sure you tell your footy-loving friends about Nisian Footy, and you can find us wherever you get your podcasts or on the ABC Pacific website.
Ka kite. How do you say goodbye in French?
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Au revoir to our Tahitian and
New
Caledonian
listeners. We need to work on our French.
Ka kite.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.